Turn with me tonight to Proverbs and to chapter 3. We have many young people here tonight, and the words that I want to address to you are spoken as though you were a young person. This is God speaking through the lips of Solomon, and he speaks long, long ago. This is guidance for life. Our subject tonight is wisdom for life ahead. Children, you have many years ahead of you, I trust. What will be your guide and your compass? What will be the map, the chart that guides you through life? Will you rely on your own wisdom and intuition? Or will you seek the sure guide to heaven, which is God's word? We have a famous verse here in Proverbs chapter 3, much loved, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. God's word is so varied, it's so diverse. Sometimes people pick up the Bible and they have no idea that there are different types of literature dotted throughout the Bible. There is, of course, history, accurate, reliable history. You can go to it and you know it's right. And now, of course, we have it attested by so much archaeology, which proves to us God's word is accurate, true, and reliable. There is, of course, prophecy. So much telling us about the future when it was written 800 years before Christ, the vivid description of Christ, that he would be sore afflicted, that he would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and all the accurate descriptions about his bones not being broken. Accurate prophecy, it's already fulfilled. And so much of it now is still yet to be fulfilled. There's prophecy, there's poetry, wonderful poetry. Poetry that's so memorable, it moves the heart. It takes us to every experience known unto men and women. When you're down, when you're anxious, when you're mourning and grieving, God's word deals just with that. Of course, there's direct teaching, telling us what to leave, what to follow, what to do in life, what not to do. That's actually the minority of God's word, is direct teaching. And then the words that we come to tonight, this is what we call wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, wisdom literature. Where are you going to go for wisdom today? Don't go to Confucius. Don't go to social media and hear the opinions of the day. Turn to God's word. It's proven. It's reliable. Many have trusted upon it and they've found it to be so accurate to life. You take its words to heart. You believe them. You find them to be true. Some of our older friends here tonight, down through the years, they've trusted on God's word, and it's never failed them, never let them down, not once. God's promises, reliable. Well, we need to be wise. Children, I want you to be wise. I'm not a wise person. I can't make decisions without God. And I urge you tonight not to go through life thinking that you know the answer, thinking that you have worked it all out, thinking that you can somehow work it out your own way. I don't like to quote Frank Sinatra. I quoted him this morning. I'll do it my way, says his song. Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. God is so much more reliable than you and me. Really, that's the message here tonight. In Proverbs, wisdom in the early chapters is the main theme. In chapter 8, don't turn to it. Wisdom is turned into a person It's as though this person, wisdom, is walking in the street, calling out, "Don't be a fool. Don't waste your life. Don't turn to this side and that side. Don't think you can make it up as you go along." Wisdom calls. Proverbs chapter 8. Well, these are the words of a father. We've got fathers here tonight. We've got many parents. Sure, your parents try and impart the few pearls of wisdom that they've gathered in life. Come to the greatest Father. Let's listen to our Almighty Heavenly Father tonight. This isn't Solomon really speaking. These 10 verses, they're actually 5 pairs. Each couple of verses is a pair, and there's a subject in each of the pairs. The way they work is there's a statement, a truth that Solomon gives, and then there's an outcome. If you believe the statement, if you put it into practice, then there will be a result, an outcome, a consequence. Do you know the objective of the book of Proverbs is to protect you? Protect you from a foolish life, a life without God's help, a life on your own, a life going through a jungle with all the dangers, pitfalls, traps, wild animals that could come and get you. And the Lord God says through the book of Proverbs, "I want to protect you. I want to secure your happiness." For all those that will read it, listen to it, and learn its wisdom, this will stand you in good stead. I'm sure there's parents here tonight, and they wish that when they were your age, they took these words to heart. There are parents here tonight that you left it later in life. You didn't heed the words of God. If there is one message tonight, "My son, forget not my law." That's what it says in verse 1. Forget not what God says. We're so apt to forget. You might leave this building tonight and you might forget everything the preacher has said. Don't do that. At least take something from God's word and apply it to your life. Listen to God's words tonight. Wisdom for the road or for life ahead. You're going on a journey. You're going on a journey through life. You're going from where you are now, when you were born. One day you'll leave this life. It will be an uncertain journey if you don't know God. And you've not listened to His way and His wisdom, you'll have an uncertain future. I don't want that for anybody. I would that everybody would leave this building tonight knowing God's word is true, God's word can be relied upon, and in your life you're going to leave here tonight saying, "I will trust in the Lord in my life. I won't put Him to one side. I won't think I know better in your arrogance. But I'll trust in God." The wisdom for the life ahead. We could call it something different. Secrets for spiritual well-being. We hear a lot about well-being. Well, this is an earnest plea from the Lord to you. This is how the verses work. Verses 1 and 2. It's a general piece of advice for the whole of life. Verses 3 and 4 is about my relationship and yours with each other and with God. Verses 5 and 6 are an urgent plea. Distrust yourself. Stop relying on your own self and trust in God. Verses 7 and 8. Fear the Lord. Turn from sin. And then the final pair. How are you going to use your resources in life? You see how it builds up from the general to relationships, to life ahead. Just before we look at some of the verses, The wisdom here is a total contrast to the humanism. This is what we call man's wisdom, humanism. Do you know, today, largely speaking in this country, if you listen to the government, if you listen to the media, if you listen to teachers at school, what you will be taught is humanism. Disney teaches humanism. Let me tell you some of the things that humanism teaches. Trust yourself, your judgment. You know best. It's a lie. Look out for number one. No one else will. Do what feels good. If it feels good and it stimulates something in your body, do it. Do it again and again. That's a lie. And it will damage you. Love yourself. You deserve it. It's all about the survival of the fittest. Forget everybody else. The whole of this life is about survival. We as humans can solve every problem. It's just one more challenge for humanity. Climate change will solve that. You decide what's right for you in your life, wherever you live and whatever your circumstances, you decide. If it contradicts with God's word, if it contradicts with somebody else, you decide. It's up to you. That's what humanism says. And then that much used phrase, believe in yourself. Are these the things that we hear? They are, aren't they? This is what we're being taught. This is humanism. And it's the total opposite of what we read in these verses. Let's look at these verses together, just very briefly. Maybe just a couple of minutes on each of the pairs of verses. Verses 1 and 2. This is advice for the heart and the mind. My son, look at how tenderly God doesn't castigate. He doesn't come and reprimand and tell us off. He sometimes needs to. But he says, my son, sit down, let's have a conversation. My son, don't forget the law. I've written it on your heart and in your conscience. And as you grow up, don't forget. Don't forget the things I've taught you. The things I've written on your heart, don't forget them. But let your heart keep my commandments. You see, the beginning is about the mind. Don't forget. And it's about the heart. Don't forget and put them in your heart and keep them. Love them. They're there to protect you. They're there to stop you from damaging yourself and damaging others. Children, when you go to school, don't forget God's law. Don't see it as something to restrict you. See it as something to show you your need of a Savior. That you cannot keep God's law, neither can I. I need to be forgiven. I need a Savior. Here's the promise. If you don't forget it, if you put it in your heart, verse 2, length of days. It doesn't mean that you'll live forever. It doesn't mean you'll live to 100. It means you'll have a fulfilling, a rich life. You'll find the secret to life. You'll find the way to please God. You'll find the way to know His presence with you. You see, you can live life like this. You can say, I don't need God. I don't need His word. I'm going to make it up as I go along. As I go along life's journey, I'll just make it up. I'll get by. I'll go to the workplace, and if I have to tell a few lies, that won't matter. If I have to break a few promises, that won't matter. But you'll get caught out. You'll get found out. And you'll get a reputation as a liar and a promise breaker. And if only you kept God's law, in your mind and your heart, you'd have been protected. You'd have been guided. Advice for the heart and the mind. Believe God's word. Obey it. Well, we know that we can't. We know that we're all sinners. And much as we try, we can't keep every one of God's commandments. It shows us our need of a Savior. But what a promise. Life worth living. That's a literal translation of verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace. If you keep God's commandments in your mind and in your heart, showing you need a Savior, oh, it will give you a life worth living. Wouldn't you have that? Do you want to make mistakes? Do you want to fall into sin? Do you want to have a life where your name gets damaged and you become an unreliable, dishonest, untrustworthy person? Oh no. Listen to this general advice. Well, the next one, verse 3. This is about relationships. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake me. We could translate it slightly differently. Always have in every relationship, whether it's friends at school, whether it's a husband and wife, love and faithfulness. If you said something, be faithful. Always have the other person's interest ahead of your own. That's what God says. He says, love others, be faithful to your word. Bind these two principles around your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Well, that's what he says. That will keep you with relationships that are good. Is there someone here tonight? You keep breaking relationships. Friendships keep breaking down. Sometimes you don't keep your word. You don't think of the other person. You think of yourself. Oh, this is wise. What's the consequence if you do this? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding, not just with God, but also with those that we live in. If you're struggling in your family, if you're struggling at school, in the workplace, always remember faithfulness to your word and love of the other person before yourself. Well, what about the third? Perhaps this is the one that digs in a bit harder. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine own heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. People often stop, don't they? Halfway through. You only understand the beginning if you get the second half. The second half says, don't trust yourself. The opposite of Disney. Disney says, believe yourself, trust yourself. And God says, don't trust yourself. You're driven by feelings and emotions, and you're changeable, and one day of the week to the next, you're different. Don't trust yourself. Don't lean upon your own thinking. Trust in the Lord. What a comparison. Is God utterly faithful, reliable? He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, trust me. Don't trust yourself. Isn't that right? Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that wisdom? Trust in the Lord. If we were to use New Testament language, we would say, put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in the one who is the only Savior, the one who can change your heart. When you've realized that you don't keep God's law, when you realize that you have broken relationships, turn to the Lord. Put your faith in Him. Don't trust yourself any longer. Turn to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, mind and heart. God is appealing to both. What's the promise? Verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's our problem, isn't it? We go through life and we think, oh, I'll do this one. I've got this one sussed. I'll deal with this on my own. And God says, no, every decision you come to, acknowledge me, acknowledge that I'm sovereign, acknowledge that one day you'll stand before me and I'll be your judge, and then you'll do what's right. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and here's the promise. Just like the hymn that we sang, God will direct your paths. He'll be the director in your life. He'll be the one that takes you on a straight path, and you'll avoid all the problems at the side, getting stuck in the mud, getting trapped in the thorns and the thistles of life. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What about the fourth one? Verse 7, just quickly this evening. Be not wise in thine own eyes. It says it again. It's saying, don't trust yourself. Don't think that you've got the answers. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You see a situation and you think, ah, yes, I've got it. I know what to do. I'll trust myself. No, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. You see, this is what Solomon's urging us. Throughout the whole of your life, you should live in the fear of God. That means you should live in the knowledge that he is God, knowing that he's watching you, knowing that he's hearing you, knowing that he's reading your heart. That's living in the fear of God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Respect him. Reverence him. Because one day we will stand before him. And then verse 7, depart from evil. We would say today, repent from your sin. Turn from all your ways. Turn from your sin and the things that you love to do. Turn to God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Repent of your sin. And then the promise. This is quite old-fashioned language. It shall be health to thy navel. That literally means from the inside out. You will know blessing. It's not a promise of physical health, but it says from the inside of your life, you will know a richness, a joy. You will know God's presence from the outside in. Even the inner part of your bones, the bone marrow, will have life. When a person gets leukemia, they have to have a bone marrow transplant sometime. With particular types of leukemia. The marrow is the health of a person. If the doctor takes a sample, they can tell you if you're healthy or unhealthy. The marrow to thy bones. It means your life will be fulfilled and healthy and spiritually and morally. You will know what's right. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What about the final couplet here in verse 9? This is about what you will do with your life. Here I am, I've got 70 years, maybe 80. I've got a certain amount of wealth, if God blesses in that way. I've got health, I've got energy, I've got a soul, I've got a conscience, I've got a mouth, I've got ears. What will I do with them? Honor the Lord with your resources. That's what this verse means. With everything that you've got that God has given you, don't forget that. Everything you have is a gift from God. Honor the Lord, respect him. Use everything you've been given for God. It's the opposite of what we do, isn't it? I use my money for me. I think about what's best for me. I think about what pleases me. And Solomon says, do the opposite. That's the secret of well-being. When you live your life for God, you can only do that if God gives you a new heart, a heart that desires to please Him, a heart that hates sin and wants to live for God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. That literally means when they took the harvest in, the very first fruit in the Old Testament would be given to God with your best years, we could say, and with all your increase. And then here's the promise in verse 10. Your barns. It's a picture, a farming picture. If you live life honoring God, using everything you've got for His glory and for His honor, the departments of your life will be filled with joy. Your presses will squeeze out a nectar, a wine, something that's delightful and refreshing, something that cleanses the palate, something that's pure. That's what your life will be like. Is your life like that? Are you living for God? Are you honoring Him with your body? It's what's said in a marriage service, isn't it? With my body, I honor the other person. That's what a husband and wife do in a marriage. They say, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to be self-centered. That's what goes wrong in so many marriages. My way, my life, my body. And we're the same with God. We don't honor God with everything we have. Your body isn't yours. It's been rented to you for the years of your life up until now. One day you'll have to give it back. Will you have honored God? Will you be able to stand before Him and say, I've honored the Lord as best I can with God's help? I didn't waste my years. I didn't go after sinful pleasures. I didn't cause a problem in my marriage at home because I was selfish and self-centered. When I was at work, I thought of other people. I kept my promises. I was faithful. Will you be able to say that? Oh, if there's somebody here tonight, and if you see that God's word is wise, and up until now you've not been listening, you've not been following what God says, and from now on you say, I want to live life for God. I want to go on the straight path. I want to follow His ways, and I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to ask Him to guide me. I'm going to say, I'm a sinner. Up until now, I've damaged my body. I've damaged the world. I've damaged others. And I want God to forgive me. And I'm going to depart from my sin. And I'm going to try and live life God's way. God, give me a new heart. Give me a heart that beats for God. Give me hands that are clean, that don't want to be defiled with the world. This is God's way. It's wisdom. And He speaks to us all as children tonight. We have a chorus that we sing with the children. Lay up treasure in heaven. Life will pass away. Lay up treasure in abundant measure for the great accounting day. Where are you investing your resources tonight? Are you investing them in the earth, in yourself, or are you honoring the Lord with your substance and with what He's given you? Oh, listen to the wise words 3,000 years ago, and yet it's though to my heart, God speaks to me now, and He says, be wise, don't be foolish, honor me, turn to me. Love me, and He will give you a new heart. If that's your desire tonight, so that you can live for him, and dishonor him no more. And from now on, you can do as it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And from now on, don't lean upon your own understanding. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, oh, we are so foolish. We've lived our lives so foolishly up until now. We've trusted ourselves and believed in ourselves, and we've thought we know the answers. But we listen to the voice of God tonight, the Master Teacher, the all-wise, all-knowing God, who speaks to us as children and says, hear my voice, my tender words. Let me guide thee. Let me be thy shepherd. Let me be the sure guide to heaven. We pray for all here this evening, if we're fighting against the conscience pricks that tell us of our sin, may we stop fighting and may we turn to God and lean upon him and look to him and love him and honor him for the rest of our days. Oh, bless us now, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.